Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's the 8:30 hour on Wednesday, November the 17th. And it is time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God to share the word of God together in fellowship, where we could learn of God, that we could come together and being on one accord, and the Holy Ghost could give us illumination and revelation. I thank God for this opportunity. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your schedule each Wednesday night to come to hear the word of God. And our title of our lesson tonight is, We Are Living in a Time of No Excuses. We're coming from the book of Romans, the first chapter, the 16th through the 21st. We are living in a time of no excuses. You know, I can't hear you guys, you know, unless we open the mics. But I'm wondering if you thought about the title and what it really means and how you feel about it after reading the Word of God. But our title again is We Are Living in a Time of No Excuses. We're coming from Romans 1, 16 through 20. And at this time, I'm going to play a song. We're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace. And then we're going to explore on the word of God together.
Somebody lift your hand. We celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say. Lift your voice.
Forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
Come on and say awesome. celebrate the arms of God.
And that song is so true, because we serve an awesome God. Hallelujah. There's no getting around that. God is an awesome God. And at this time, it's time for us to go to God's throne of grace. And a caller has pressed the one button. And I don't know if they would like to pray. So caller, your number is 34479. I opened the mic. Did you want to pray tonight? Caller, your number is 344-7907. Did you want to pray tonight? Well, maybe the button was pressed by mistake. Hello? Hello? Well, it's time to go to God and pray. And if anyone would like to pray at this time, God is affording the opportunity. Anyone who would like to pray could press the one button and bring us to the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the God that loves our soul, our eternal Father, the Father of Jesus Christ, the Father who has a divine spirit. Dear Lord God, we come to your throne of grace at this time. Lord, we are preparing our hearts and our mind to receive the word of God tonight. Heavenly Father, I realize that I can only give information, but the Holy Ghost is the one that reveals the truth. I pray that the word that goes forward doesn't return void, that each and every one of us is waiting to explore the word with a spirit of expectancy. And I know that God will do that. God say, whatever you ask, he'll give. Whatever you seek, he'll let you find. And if it's your desire to take the word of God and penetrate it in your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul, God is not only willing, he's also able. And it will give him no more pleasure to do that for you. It will give him so much pleasure to do that for you. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. God, I am your servant in position to be used by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and thank God. Well, since other callers have come on the line, I'll say it again. The title of our lesson is We Are Living in a Time of No Excuses. I know I don't normally do this, but if anyone would like to speak on that title, what they feel about it, I just touch and agree that it's the truth. If you press your one button, I could open the mic. Well, we come in from Romans, the first chapter, the 16th through the 20th verse. Always I give a little intro, a little background. Well, we're in the book of Romans, and we happen to be in the first chapter on the night. We have to realize that the book of Romans is in the Bible after the book of Acts, and we know the book of Acts is when the church was formulated. We know the Gospels was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and at that time, our Gospel writer for the book of Romans tonight hadn't even recognized Jesus Christ as a Savior, had accepted him as his Lord or Master. He was doing everything to oppose what Jesus stood for. But, oh, you know, Jesus met him on a road to Damascus, and his life never was the same. He shows up in the book of Acts, and he began to teach. The Bible gives hint that Paul was taught directly by Jesus Christ. We also should note that the book of Romans is a book that was written to the Romans. The Romans was the people in that time that had all the political powers. They were in control, the government and everything. And the people who lived in Rome was the Romans. Paul was writing to the Romans because he had a desire in his heart for them to get to know Jesus as he had. And he's writing to the Romans. And that's where we get the book of Romans from. It's so amazing. So after the churches was established in the book of Acts, the people that had came there and for the day of Pentecost, they had gotten the word, and some had gotten it real deep down in their soul. Everybody went back to their hometown, and that's how churches were started. Hallelujah. They went home and they started, well, it wasn't churches at that time, but they started temples and they started places to congregate and they started upper rooms and they all speaking about Jesus Christ and that he was real. And the book of Romans is real doc, you know, have a lot of doctrine material, because he's talking about the truth of salvation, salvation by faith and all of it. The book of Romans is called the Roman Book to Salvation. So there's a lot of doctrine being taught there. And Paul had wrote this book to the Romans. And that's the book we end tonight. I wanted to give you a little thing about the Old Testament and the New Testament. And you could ask the question, and it's always been asked, what is the difference? You see, while the Bible is a unified book, there are differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You see, in many ways, they are complementary to each other, but many people believe they contradict each other. You see, the Old Testament is the fundamentals of God, and the New Testament builds on the foundation with further revelation from God and his design that God wants to reveal to us. You see, the Old Testament established principles that are seen illustrated in the New Testament, truth proving God is real. See, God had prophets in the Old Testament, and God had them all speaking about the coming of his son. And then the New Testament opened up with Jesus' birth. So what God kept telling them about, I'm going to do. And then in the New Testament, he did it. They knew how real he was, or they should have known how real he was. You see, the Old Testament contained many prophecies that are fulfilled in the New Testament, letting us know that if God said it, it will come to pass sometime sooner and other times later. But if he said it, you could bank on it. You could trust it. You see, the Old Testament provides the history of the people, and the New Testament focused on one person, God's son. The Old Testament showed the wrath of God against sin with a glimpse of his grace. And why you say that? We always associate Jesus with grace, and it's been asked to me many times, if Jesus wasn't born in the Old Testament, how was they saved? They were saved by that same grace. But watch this. For them to be saved by that same grace, faith is what produced grace. So the characters in the Old Testament that heard the word of God and believed the word of God, they had faith. Faith gave them grace. Grace, salvation. So they had to do and be saved. They had to be saved the same way we have to be saved, by faith in Jesus Christ. You see, if you think about Abraham believed God, and he had faith that whatever God said, it was all right. God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. And Abraham obeyed. And right when he was getting ready to kill him, God had an angel to stop him. You see, because of Abraham's faithfulness attributed righteousness to him. And because of that righteousness is what was in him that produced the faith. And faith was accomplished with grace. You know, if you look at Daniel, Daniel was willing to go in the lion's den because of faith. So you see, faith was there even in the Old Testament. And faith is what allowed them to enter into grace. And we could go on and on and on with the Old Testament. And that's why I said the Old Testament shows the wrath of God against sin with a glimpse of his grace. And the New Testament shows the grace of God towards sinners with a glimpse of his wrath. Hey, there must be wrath whenever sin is present, or it would mean that it appear to be okay with God. God can't turn his back on sin. He can't turn a deaf ear to sin. He said, because then that would make him not the perfect God. It wouldn't allow him to be a righteous judge, a righteous God. You see, the Old Testament predicts a Messiah, and the New Testament reveals the Messiah in the flesh. The Old Testament records the giving of God's law, and the New Testament shows Jesus, the Messiah, fulfilling the law with grace for everyone who accepts by faith. The Old Testament gives the law. The New Testament clarifies what the law was meant to show man, show men their need for salvation. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the law, but to fulfill it. You know, if you look at it, you could take the story of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes and place a title on them as Old Testament. And then you could say Jesus Christ, the New Testament. You see, the Pharisees knew how to quote the laws. They knew how to express the laws. They were quoted as it was written. But they didn't know how to love. And Jesus was coming and taking the law and showing us what was God's intention for rightness. See, they took it away from the intention. They took it away from what God wanted to do to fit their agenda. And that's why Jesus came, to show us the intention and what it was the purpose of rightness. The Old Testament prophecies relate to the coming of Christ, although incredibly details contain a lot that is unclear. God has given us revelation in his appointed time. We know more now than we knew before. Sometimes we read a scripture 50 times, and on the 51st time, we get revelation of the truth. So God is constantly revealing himself. But the Old Testament gave us incredible details, but the New Testament cleared them up. Because God's revelation is in scripture is progressive, thank God for what he has revealed to us so far, and wait with great expectation as he gives us more. But to get more, you got to want more. Come on now. This is a journey. It's not a destination. There are some people who believe they have already arrived on the mountaintop. They believe they know what they know, and they got it, and they good, and they don't sin, and they this, and they that, and they this, and they that, and they all that in a bowl of chips. But we are being saved daily. That's why God had to provide us with saving grace. Because we need some every day. And we need to work on it. And we need to try to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, so that we can grow. You see, change is inevitable. But growth is an option. And how fast and how far you grow depends on you. Little word, little growth. Little prayer, little growth. It depends on you. So in summary of the old and the new, I want you to know the Old Testament laid the foundation for the coming of the Messiah, who would sacrifice himself for the sins of the world. The New Testament records his birth, his ministry, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, which guarantees salvation to anyone who accepts. And it continues by looking back on what he did. You know, like looking back on what he did. Today, you know, I could do a sermon on feeding the 5,000. Come on, y'all. I could come and say what Jesus said to the Pharisees. He called them hypocrites. That's why I said then look back on what he did and how we are to respond to it. He said, bring all your burdens to me because I care for you. You see, but both testaments reveal the same holy, merciful, and righteous God who condemns sin but desires to save all sinners. The Old Testament and the New Testament, God's holy word written in the Bible. For us, God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, they know the Bible. When we are encouraged to read the Bible to grow in grace and to study to show ourselves approved, it's for us. It's for us, y'all, that when something happened and we could just meditate on the word of God or sing a song that God has placed in our heart and we began to feel better. But the Holy Ghost's job is to pull up in you what you need because he's our present help to pull it up when you need it. But if you didn't put nothing in to be pulled up, there's nothing he could do. He could give you. How could the Holy Ghost, after if you didn't have word in you, a different word for different things and different things and different things in you, how could the Holy Ghost at that appointed time give you a word that you never thought about, you never meditated? How could you perceive and get any soundness from it? It'd be just like saying something to you in Spanish. So that's what we mean when we say what you done put in you, what you done ate on, what you done meditated, what you done believed, what you done achieved. The Holy Ghost will bring that up for you as a reminder to tell you, you remember when, and if he did it then, he could do it now, and so on and so on and so on. So that's just a tidbit of the Old and the New Testament. And we're going to go in our study tonight. Again, I tell you, we're in the book of Romans. It was written by Paul, and it was written to the Romans Christians. You know, at that time, they didn't have no churches. It was just small groups of believers, and they would meet all around town. They didn't have a Bible. So really, you could see where misinterpretation came from. It came about probably in the beginning, because remember, when these people went back to their hometown on what they had heard. And I'm sure many of them try to write it down if they had the Bible that was on the manuscripts and stuff. They was able to do a little something with that. But just imagine, without having this wonderful book, the Bible, enclosed with 66 books, hallelujah, and we could look and we could go back and we could refer and we could, you know, meditate on it. But that's what God talk about with faith the size of a mustard seed. See, they had faith and they believed. They hadn't achieved all of the essence of the word of God, but they believed. And that's what God is looking for. You say, if you have the faith the size of mustard seed, everything will be all right. But going back on our title tonight, I say we are living in a time of no excuses. And you're going to see why I say that. But I believe and I hold wholeheartedly to that. Because I just could imagine people being people. If they would be given, I'm not saying they would be given, but if they would be given a opportunity to plead their case or to say what they have to say, you know, they would come up with all kind of things. God, I would have read more, but I had to go to work and then I had to go to sleep. You know, I would have gave more, but I needed everything for my family. I would have prayed more, but I just didn't have the time. You know, God's going to say, nah. Nah, I read the Bible, but I didn't understand it. You know, it's going to be all these, it would be all of these kind of things. And it won't be just things. Now people make these excuses today. A lot. But that's just the way it is. And, you know, the lesson tonight is we living in a time where there's no excuses. God has shown himself too much. God had worked miracles, signs, and wonders. God then gave his son. God gave prophets. God gave judges. God gave kings. God gave priests. God gave many examples. God proved he was the creator of all things. That, you know, it's just too much to make an excuse. So when we look at verse 16 in the first chapter of the book of Romans, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." You know, Paul had to explain himself a lot because Paul's profession before deciding to be an apostle for God, he was crucifying the saints. And by him doing that, he was very learned. They trusted his education in Judaism, but they didn't know his credentials in the word of God. So Paul was always having to defend himself. So right now he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." When they say Jew first, you know the Jews was his chosen people, and we know the Greek is in here to represent Gentiles. And there's just two classes. There's Jews and there's Gentiles. And we're not a Jew, so we are Gentiles. So Paul is saying, God, in this New Testament in the book of Romans, Paul is telling them, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which can lead to salvation, is for everyone. He's letting it be known. He's teaching y'all. And see, in verse 17, he said, "For what, wherein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, he said the righteousness of God. He didn't say your righteousness. When Adam sinned, sin separated us from God. Part of the separation was because we wasn't righteous. And God didn't want to deal with us on those bases. But when we accept Jesus Christ, God extended his righteousness towards us. See, we ain't working in our righteousness. We're not walking in our righteousness, even though a lot of people do. The righteousness that we receive was extended towards us by God when we accepted his son. Because the scripture says, for wherein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith? You had faith in Jesus Christ. God extended his righteousness to you. And he said, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You see, here Paul is letting us know how powerful the gospel of Christ. The gospel is so powerful that it takes people from a life of sin all the way to heaven. That's power, huh, y'all? Salvation is the past and the present and the future. You know, we had a past, the present, and the future. The past is when we accepted him and we got in position. The present is we being sanctified. And the future is completion when Jesus come back again. That's why Philippians can say, be confident of this thing, that he that has begun a work in you is able to complete it until Jesus come back. You see, once you accept Christ and receive salvation, it is forever present working things out for your good. God didn't just save you and threw you in a corner and waited till Jesus come back and pick you up. He's working things out together for your good. He's leading and guiding and speaking and changing and rearranging and speaking to you and taking you from level to level and glory to glory if you let him in this present. Now it is evident that no one will be justified before God by the law, Old Testament. For the righteous shall live by faith in the Old Testament and the New Testament. This is the same premise of the Old and the New. We know that Abraham had faith, like I spoke about before, and that's why he was granted righteousness. Come on, y'all. He didn't get the righteousness because he accepted Jesus Christ, and then God extended his righteousness to him. He received the righteousness because of the faith that he had. Because he trusted and believed God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God's essential attributes are revealed, giving us enough evidence of who he is, the creator of all things. And I'm saying these type of things because when we get to the other verse, you're going to see why Paul wrote those scriptures and who he was mainly talking to and how they are. You see, God has given us the evidence with his attributes. Everything that will and can happen, everything is by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. It's not man's invention, even though some people believe they self-made. So they believe they created themselves. Foolishness. It is not man's invention. It's God's revelation. If it was left up to us, we would have never thought about nothing like this. Even us, in our limited knowledge, we didn't go looking for God. God had to come looking for us, let alone trying to create a world. What one believes does make a difference. Like there's so many false religions and false teachers and people going and for the okey-doke behind anything. And they say, long as you believe in something, how you know that Jesus is real things like that, with all of the evidence I just spoke about. What one believes does make a difference. If he believes the gospel, he has life. Otherwise, he has death. Choose today, because there's no excuses. You see those people that grew up in the church and decide to turn around and went to whatever kind of go worship the purple star or whatever. They knew him. They're not going to have an excuse. Or they might, but let me just tell you, thank you, Holy Ghost. They knew him. Or they knew of him, but did they really know him? I'm going to say that again. Some people who started with the doctrine of Jesus Christ, even though they was going and showing up and maybe speaking it, they may, and I don't know nobody, so I can't say, they maybe knew of him and knew about him, but did they really, really, really know him? Because when we talk about salvation and you can't lose it, and then some people who say it, they want to accept Christ, but they didn't accept it in their heart. And they might have still all the while was wondering, was all of this real? So they never really gave their heart to God, to Jesus, for salvation. So they are not saved. So when the Bible talks about when they come there before God, and let me show you, it's just a parable, or it's just writing and a teaching. Jesus say they came and they said, I prophesied in your name. I went to Sunday school. I taught Bible study. I was on the prayer line. He said, I spit you out of my mouth. I don't know you. Because God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. And I'm talking about all of the information they have. We're going to get it a little deeper, and you're going to understand a little more what I'm trying to say. So verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven from unsaved, ungodly, unrighteous men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What this is saying, they're unrighteous, they're ungodly, but they're holding on to the unrighteousness as truth. So I guess right here we could say leaning to their own understanding. And right here we could say they are doing whatever seemeth right in their eyes, and they're holding on to it as it's true. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. This is what the scripture's saying here. God has given enough evidence and revealed enough about himself for them. So that's why I'm saying it won't be no excuse, because God is doing his part. Look what it says again, verse 19. Because that which, hallelujah, y'all, that which may be known of God is manifested in them. For God had showed it unto them. Y'all got it? No excuses. God, if you would have just let me know something about you, I did, my child. And I'm sure to read some of the things that he did. So here I go to say there will be no excuses. God has completely and totally provided everything necessary for us to live a righteous life in faith. I'm often asked the question, how could people live in this evil and corrupt world without God in their lives, as the scripture says? How can they live? Because they're holding on to their unrighteousness as truth. The scripture just told you. The scripture just told us. You see, they believe they have it going on, doing whatever seemeth right in their own eyes, putting their total faith in the things that are only temporal and will never last. These people are selfish and believe that me, myself, and I, as they were self-made. Come on, y'all. And the word allows us to know that no one created themselves. You see, if we look at Proverbs 26, 28 and 26, it says, the one who trusts in himself. I think Tamika did. Oh, well, everybody don't know Tamika. But anyway, the one that trusts in himself is a fool, but one who walks in wisdom will be safe. Romans 1 and 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Okay, they knew of God, they heard of God, their mama telling them about God. They cut the TV on and they hear about God. But look what they say about those. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, this scripture, y'all, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not profitable. This giving is not permissive. God let them do what they want to do. Enough is enough, y'all. God withdrew. Now, God might withdraw it, and if they come back and return, he accept them in. Everywhere in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, when God had to walk away from the Israelites. And soon as they cried out, he gave them more provision. Whatever the wrath was all about, he turned it around, because that's the kind of God he is. You see, but with this, God turned them to a reprobate mind, and God withhold his gracious help and let them have their way. They are blinded, y'all. I talk about the veil on the eyes. You can only see darkness. They are blinded not because God withheld the light. Let's get it right. Because it's an act of God whereby he delivered them over to a natural result of their unbelief and action. You began to follow the lie. If you began to follow the lie, you began to walk in conformity to the lie. We've seen that right before our eyes for 4 years with our past president. If you began to follow the lie and you began to walk in conformity to the lie, that's what happened. And they start believing a lie themselves. You see, Satan, who is the greatest liar, can only work in our mind, try and accept his lies as our perception. And if we allow it to take root, we now accept it as reasonable. Y'all know what I'm talking about, compromising that faith. It becomes your reality, and we know all reality is not real or true. See, reality could be reality for you, but it don't stand up nowhere else but in the boardrooms of your mind. Because everybody else saying, that don't make no sense. You see, sometimes it's only good to you, but it's not necessarily good for you. You see, there will be no excuses acceptable unto God. God has, is doing, and has promised to do all things necessary for you with the matters of your life if you accept, believe, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is our present help. And the last verses of the lesson say, for the invisible things of him, talking about God, from the creation of the word are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuses. See, I titled my lesson there, but this is in the scripture. And I'm going to read that again. 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. This ain't all that God did. He took the invisible and made it visible. He created the heavens and the earth. There was nothing there. The word was without form. Y'all read it in Genesis. What a mighty God we serve. He said God has showed him his eternal power. He proved he was the Godhead because he gave his son. And he created the world. And he took things that was invisible and made them visible. He says, so that they are without excuse. And I'm putting 21 in there. Because that, when they knew God, people who have some information about God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. But that's the way we see the world today. Anything and everything goes. And this scripture, these scriptures tonight is telling you how they're turned over to reprobate minds. They're doing what they want to do. God decides to let them. Because they have an appointed time. See, that's what we got to realize. And God say, you know, we wake up and we go 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. You know, and it seems so long to us. But God say it's only a vapor in the book of James. So we have to realize God is allowing. But it's for an appointed time. Tub is going to have to stand on his own legs. You see, the scriptures give the argument for cause and effect. It's one logical argument for the existence of God. God did it. We know that God is real because he has revealed himself to us in three ways in creation. He's given us his word. He's given us his son, Jesus Christ. He created the world. He gave us his word, and he's given us his son. God made all things invisible, visible at creation. You see, all of the invisible things that was just in God, when God spoke in Genesis 1 and 1, let there be, the invisible became visible. There was water, there was trees, there was birds, and there was bees, and there was man, and there was woman. The invisible became visible by the hands of God. And if you can't go back that far, hallelujah, I want you to know that God uses everything he created to show his existence. You see, God took care of us in our mother's womb, the invisible. And all that we are today, hey, the visible, and has guaranteed our life after here and now. And I want to just let you know that every time I hear newborn baby cry, I realize that there's a God, something from nothing. God made the universe. He created nature. You know how these flowers grow and have a time and a season. If man was in charge of that, and I say this a lot on the lesson, I have a magnolia tree, and the magnolias begin to bloom in April, and they stay about to the end of May or something like that. But you see, if man was in control of that, he would probably be missing it. He was, maybe then came, April be then came, May and June, and he's just thinking about the magnolia. See, man couldn't handle this, y'all. See, when if man had to handle it, when the time for the sun to go down, he'll forget to operate it, and the sun will still be up and the moon is there in competition with each other. You see, if man had to put the water and the seas and the bayous and the rivers and the oceans and make the water stay in there, he wouldn't have enough power to control the water. So we think we have floods now. The water would have overtop the boundaries whenever they got ready. If man had to be in control, I had anything to do with it. See, you got to either believe or don't believe. But when it's all said and done, as the scripture states, so that they are without excuse, God has provided the evidence, but we must provide the faith. And that's our lesson for tonight. The word of God say we are without excuses. Or we will be. All of the unsaved people. I was gonna. I was waiting till I get it right. You know, I heard about your God and I believed. But I had to get some more better clothes to go to church. God, I heard about you. But I was just waiting till the first of the year, and I was going to make my New Year's resolution to start going to church. No excuses. God is a good God, and he's ready to be praised. Is there anyone who would like to add corrections, comments, statements? They are so welcome at this time. Because it's good when we talk back to each other. We open up. Because this is a Bible study. And many times you go to Bible study and they teach the Bible study and they close the Bible study and everybody go home. You didn't have a chance to ask a question. You didn't have a chance to make a comment. You didn't have a chance to do anything. God has given us this forum. So if there's anything anyone would like to say at this time, you could press the one button on your phone. And if not, we could have our benediction. Would anyone like to do the benediction? You could press the one button on your phone. Well, we're going to go to 2 Peter 3 and 18. The scripture reads, and it's so applicable, period, to our walk with Christ, because it's asking that we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ now and forevermore, mean now, right now, and keep growing forevermore. And that's our lesson for tonight. If it's God's will and your desire, we'll be back on next Wednesday, same time, at the same number. I just want you guys to remember, it's all by God's grace. It's by God's grace of who you are right now. It's by God's grace, everything you have. It's by God's grace, by your health, your strength, your finances, your education, your health. It's by God's grace. All things through his son, Christ Jesus. when we read that the world was created by Jesus, we sometimes can't get it. But you see, John 1 and 1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. They mean being created by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, y'all. Hallelujah. And that's it for tonight. So until next week, it is my desire and my prayer that you go and see, and that God keep on blessing you real good. He want to bless us, y'all. He is blessing us, y'all. And he will always bless us because we belong to him. So good night, everybody. And I pray that everybody have a beautiful night rest. And that's it for tonight. I love each and every one of you with the love of Jesus Christ. Till next week.